Okay, Ephesians 3. Last week we talked about God's purpose in Christ. We looked at personal redemption, how God in Jesus had a plan and a purpose, an intentional one, to see each person redeemed. And not just redeemed for themselves, but to be able to then be used and do the work that he prepared in advance for us to do. We talked also about how God gave us a great family to be a part of. And we talked about the church and how God sees the church, how it's the body of Christ, the representation of Jesus on the earth, and how we have to treat it that way. We have to make sure we respect God's family and we love in God's family, and we're not speaking in an inappropriate way about something that God values so highly. And so that was what we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 3 really continues talking about God's amazing plan. You know, we started off in Ephesians chapter 1 kind of talking about how the first three chapters are really just teaching. It's kind of doctrine about the gospel. It's Paul really stepping back and just reflecting on the amazing plan that God had in saving the world through Jesus. In Christ was really the theme of the whole book. But after the first three chapters, he gets into more practical. So today, we're concluding kind of the theology portion of Ephesians. We're looking today again about Paul's reflection on the gospel and what God's amazing plan was for the world and what the church's role was in it and what our role is in it. Paul reflects on that as he thinks about his own life. And so the title of our message today as we go through Ephesians chapter 3 is Empowered in Christ. Empowered in Christ. If you look at the book of Ephesians again, Christ is a main theme. We see the word Christ over and over. Power is also a major theme in the book of Ephesians. And I think that's so helpful to know that when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about something that gives power. And we can all attest to that in our own lives as Christians, people who've gone from darkness to light. We can see the power of Christ working in our lives to help us live the kind of life that God wants us to live. Paul really reflected on that and shared about his own life, but also to the Ephesians about their lives and how the power of God is really working through them to be able to fulfill, again, God's amazing plan of saving the whole world, the gospel message through Christ. Empowered in Christ is what we're talking about today, and we're going to start looking in chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read together in verse 1. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by the revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into this mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory." And we'll stop there. Paul here begins in verse 1 with an intention. He kind of reflects on all of what he just shared in chapter 1 and 2, and he's about to say something. He's saying, look, as a prisoner of God, for your sake, the Gentiles, but then he kind of gets sidetracked. You know, if you look in the Bible, there's a little dash there, right? And he kind of just goes on this really long, it's actually a tangent from his main thought. But in that tangent, we get some of the most beautiful language about the gospel, just kind of from the rambling thoughts of Paul as the Holy Spirit was directing him. And so it's pretty incredible. You know, he doesn't come back to his original thought until verse 14. So that's a pretty long tangent there, a couple paragraphs of just him reflecting on God's amazing plan, on how incredible God's thought was and his vision for the world, him marveling at the mystery revealed, that the gospel was actually going to be for all people, not just for the Jews, but for Gentiles. And he's reflecting on his role in it. It's pretty amazing stuff. But the first point this morning, as we look at this section of Scripture, is being empowered to play your part. Being empowered to play your part. As I just said, Paul looks at God's plan, but he really looks at his role in it, in this section of Scripture here. And it's something that he lives as an example to all of us. And, you know, he talks about this much more and continues this thought in chapter 4, as we'll look at next time. But this is one of his major focuses as he's writing in this part of his letter to the Ephesians, being empowered to play your part. You know, this idea of the gospel was really revolutionary. We talked about this last time, that it wasn't just going to be for the Jews, but that this was going to increase the pool of God's people, really just over 100-fold, right? I mean, the amount of Jewish people on the planet versus the amount of all the people on the planet. This was just a huge expansion when it came to an understanding of God's plan for humanity. Paul sees that and is really marveling at it here. And he understands his role in that plan. You know, through the church, he says in verse 10 and 11, God's intent was to show the world his wisdom. It says to show through the church the manifold wisdom according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ. Again, that all were going to be saved together in one family, like we talked about last time, and Jesus was going to be Lord over the whole thing. That was the role of the church, really, in God's plan. And Paul then zooms in and talks about his specific role of what he was going to do in God's plan, how he was going to be used by God in God's plan. You know, verse 7, he says, he became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace through the working of God's power to preach to the Gentiles. That was Paul's specific understanding of his role in God's plan. You know, he wasn't going to do all the heavy lifting. He wasn't going to do everything. But he knew that my job here is to preach to the Gentiles. My role in this is one to be a preacher, but specifically to go and reach the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people that God's given me influence over. He had a specific task to do. You know, last week we talked about how God prepares good works for us to do. How God's got a plan even before we get saved of the work he wants us to do. That he's got lined up specifically for each and every one of us. But the encouraging thing that we learn here from Paul is that he also empowers us to do that work. He doesn't just line up these tasks that we can never accomplish. He gives us a plan, but also the power to accomplish those things. He gives us power to play our parts. That's what Paul says in verse 7. He became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given through the working of God's power. That was his understanding, that God not only gave me a task, but he gave me the power to do it. For all of us, God's got a special plan in mind. And he doesn't just have a special plan, he's got the power for you to accomplish that plan. I know it can be easy, you know, to hear maybe this language and to get excited about, yeah, I want to do something. I feel like I could do something. I can do the work. But I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I'm really ready to do the work. Am I equipped to do the work? Do I have what it takes? And that's exactly the question that Paul answers here by saying, God gives me the power. And it's encouraging to know that even the lion-hearted Paul says, look, without God, how does he see himself? Verse 8, although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach. That's how Paul understood himself. He said, look, apart from God's power, I'm the least. I'm nothing. I'm not capable of this. And that's encouraging for us if we're feeling maybe like that this morning. Like, I do want to do some work for God, but I don't really feel capable. Well, you're in good company there with Paul. Paul didn't feel like he was much of anything either. But he understood God gives me the power to fulfill the tasks he puts before me. God's prepared the works, and he's empowered us to do them. And the question is, do we feel empowered by God? Do we know that we do have power from God? That as a Christian, you have one of the most incredible sources of power in the universe living in you. You know, it is amazing today that the temperature is going up over 60. When I got out of my car this morning, the little temperature thing said 60. And I thought, this is amazing. It's February right now. And then I started thinking, this is more amazing that what's causing this to happen is the sun. That something in space, like millions of miles away, is causing the temperature to rise by this many degrees and be this comfortable. And you think about the power of the sun. Well, that's just one speck in God's creation. That's just one tiny dot that God didn't even really think of when he put there. When you think of God's power that lives in you, what are you capable of? What can God do through our lives? Do you know the power of God so that you can play your part in the work he prepares for you to do? We're going to show a video right now, and it's one of our hot news videos. It's an encouraging video from a couple congregations, actually, that are just seeing God work in some powerful ways. You know, there's a few different young couples here who are going to different places around the world, really, and seeing how God's working through them, how God's using them. And it's encouraging to know our fellowships around the world and to see, again, the power of God as they do their part in their part of the world. And so I wanted to show that video just to inspire us and encourage us with what God's power can really do. So at this time, we'll play our first video here.
Half a day from Guam.
We really love living in China. It's a very unique place.
Greetings from Colombo, Sri Lanka.
I'm Mike Tolliver with ICOC Hot News. As we begin 2017, many of us are in a Bible talk or family group, and we're dreaming of having an impact in our community. So ICOC Hot News filmed three tremendous couples who are part of some very dynamic ministries. We think you'll be inspired as you think about 2017 and what God can do in your community. Let's begin with the power of prayer. Listen to how God is at work with Braxton and Jinky at our small church of 85 in Guam.
We're so excited to bring you some news from a small island in the middle of the Pacific. In just the past 15 months, we've seen 16 people come to the Lord, 13 through baptisms and 3 through restorations.
It's been so amazing to see 5 couples come together and watch their marriage be healed and change, and it's just amazing to see families come together in Christ, and it's just been so incredible to see their lives transform and change so drastically, and now helping other marriages to change and grow.
In September last year, our church focused on revival, and we spent an all-night prayer session. I hadn't done that since my college days. And one of the things we were praying for is for people just to come to church, people we didn't know, people we didn't even invite. And I remember late in September, around 10:30 in the morning, a few people started walking into the door, one after another, and soon 40 people had walked into the door of our church. Now, we have about 85 members in our church, so when 40 new people show up, you notice it. And we pulled aside about 20 of these people that came in, and they're college students from the University of Guam. And we asked them, they were like, how did you hear about the Guam Christian Church? Did someone reach out to you? Did you see our website? And all of them said it was like a spirit that just whispered to us. And so they came. And we're just so amazed that even out of that, that's how our campus ministry was born. We've already seen 2 students baptized into Christ in the last several months.
Half a day! Woo!
Next up is David and Nadia de los Santos from Colombo, Sri Lanka. God took a small group of 20 disciples and multiplied them to 60 in 1 year. The church in Sri Lanka teaches us all to trust God and reach for the stars.
We lead the church here. About a year ago, we came here with a team of 5 to replant a church of 20. And God has done amazing things. The church has grown to 60 disciples just this month, and it's been absolutely inspiring to see how God has worked.
Before we got here, there had been no full-time staff for 10 years, and now the church is totally vibrant and turned around, and young disciples are stepping up. We had 26 baptisms and 3 restorations, and a lot more people want to come back because they just see the joy and the love of Christ.
I hope that inspires you. Thank you very much.
Finally, Adrian and Danielle Hernandez share some courageous plans to plant a church in a city of over 8 million in China. The guts to go, learn the language, learn the culture, plant a church, and help it grow is inspiring.
Hi guys, my name is Adrian. This is my wife, Danielle. I became a Christian in the year 2009 while at the University of Texas at Austin, and I've been living in China now for about 5 years.
I became a Christian in the teen ministry in Dallas, Texas, and I went to China on 1 year challenge, and I've been there for 6 years, which is where I met Adrian, and we've been married for about 3.5. We really love living in China. It's a very unique place. It has both great need and great opportunity. China is actually the largest non-Christian population in the world. Christianity is growing a lot, and yet there's still a huge, huge need for missionaries to be spreading God's word.
So we're excited to say that in summer 2017, in likely the largest city in the world where we don't have a church in yet, we're going to plant a church, a city of over 8 million people. So we're asking you, pray for us, pray for the missions in China. And if you have an interest in the mission in China, if you want to learn more about the mission in China, then please go to oneyearchallenge.org.
We hope that these examples are encouraging. All of us need to learn from these three churches about the power of prayer, faith, and courage. As you make plans for the coming months, remember, God can do amazing things in your life and in your church. The question is, do you believe it? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. God bless. We'll see you back at the website.
Amen. There's some encouraging stuff there. I don't know about that group of 20 that a spirit whispered in their ear. I want to hear more of that story. I don't understand that. That's pretty amazing stuff. But it's just great. I mean, that couple, David and Nadia, you know, actually Tiffany and I met them at a staff training thing that we did combine the New York church and the ACR family of churches, went to the Philly camp and met them actually the day before they flew out to Sri Lanka. It was their last day, and so I'm just talking to this guy, he's like, yeah, we're going to Sri Lanka tomorrow to lead the church there. Like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And then it's like, just looking at their Facebook, it's like every day there's some, you know, a new person added to their congregation. It's so encouraging to see how God is really just moving powerfully. But in all these couples, as we're looking at how God is moving around the world, it reminds us of the power that he puts in each and every one of us to really have impact, to do our part in his work. Paul's part was to preach to the Gentiles, and it led him to jail, which is where he was writing this letter from. Sometimes playing your part means sacrifice. It means pain. It means hardship. Verse 1, Paul says, I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Verse 13, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul didn't make it confusing that he was suffering, that he was going through some difficulties. He was a prisoner. His conditions weren't good. But he also made it clear that I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you Gentiles. And you can wonder, you know, he kind of guards their heart there in verse 13. Don't be discouraged, because he knows, how are they going to feel hearing that? Like, oh, Paul, why are you doing this? You know, we'll be okay. You don't have to do this. I'm sorry that you're in jail. I'm sorry you're in discomfort. But Paul says, no, don't be discouraged on my account. I'm doing my part. And this is to your glory. My sufferings are to your glory. He made it clear, I want to suffer for you. I want to endure this. I want to go through this because this is my part in the work. This is my role. This is my part of the wall that I need to build. If I don't do it, who's going to? This is what God gave me, and He's provided me with the power to do it. What is God calling you to do? And how far would you go to see it through? God's power is what provides us the ability to make it through sufferings, to make it through the sacrifices, and to see it to the end, to see God have a victory in our lives, and to see Him do something amazing as we play our part in His great plan. The second point, empowered to comprehend how much you're loved. Empowered to comprehend just how much you're loved. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul finally gets back on his train of thought here. For this reason, because I'm a prisoner of the Lord for you, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he gets back on his train of thought and he says this prayer for the Ephesians. He says, for this reason I kneel before God and I pray this prayer. And there's so much in that prayer you can read and it can inspire and encourage you. It can strengthen you, and you can spend a lot of time just studying out all of the language he uses about God's love for us. But at the end of it all, kind of culminating his thoughts, he prays that they can have God's power to grasp, to understand, to be certain of, to comprehend the love of God. To really understand how much God loves them. To really get it. Why is he praying that? Again, because this is the basis he's going to use to then give them instructions in the next three chapters. And so he's saying, you've got to get this. You've got to understand. And you know what? You can't understand on your own. No matter how hard you try, you actually cannot understand the love of Jesus. You need God's power to work in you to do something divine, something not physical, not of man, to change your brain and to change your heart, to really grasp how much God loves you. Because it's so much love that you can't understand how far it extends in every dimension, high, deep, wide. To know it, he prays, I want you to know it, but it surpasses knowledge. Well, that's a little bit of a conflict there, Paul. That's why we need God's power. He prays that they'd be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That the love that they feel would be the full measure of what God feels for them. Because he knows just how hard it is to really comprehend God's love, to be certain of it, to be convinced of it, to let it change us. Are you certain of how much you're loved by God? God says that it's so much that you need divine power to comprehend it. The love of God is something that changes us. It's something that causes us to act differently. It's what gives us the ability to live in the way that Paul's going to describe here in the next three chapters. But we actually have a great threat to our comprehension of God's love. Look in 1 Peter 5, and you can keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll come back there. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a threat to our comprehension of God's love. We'll look in 1 Peter chapter 5. But the greatest threat in the scriptures is Satan. Satan's described as the father of lies and the great deceiver. That's his game. That's what he does. That's what he does best. He deceives us. He lies to us. Why do we need God's power in light of that? Well, because look how the Bible also describes Satan. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan's the father of lies. He's the master of deception. But he's also described by God as being as powerful as a roaring lion, looking, hunting for someone to devour. The truth of God's love for us is at threat of being compromised by Satan. Satan wants to lie about how God feels about us. Satan wants to lie about how other people will think of you if you really told them who you were, about how much love they'd have for you if they really knew who you were. Satan wants to lie to us about the pleasure sin will bring. He wants to convince us of that. And it's all coming at us with the strength of a roaring lion. How do you feel measuring up against a lion? I don't like my chances on my own. I'm not that fast and I'm not that strong. A lion's going to take me out. A lion's going to take you out too. A lion is going to compromise your understanding of God's love. Satan is going to lie his best lies. He's going to whisper in your ear and convince you of a lie. You need power to combat this threat. You need power inside of you to be certain of how much you're loved. That's why Paul says he prays that God's power would make them capable. Because on our own, we can try to understand, we can try to reason with the love of Christ. But we're just going to be standing up against the onslaught of Satan's attacks. And eventually, our conviction will weaken. We need some power from God to combat these strong, strong lies. God's power is far stronger than any lion. God knows exactly the kind of power we need to help us understand how much we're loved. Because when we understand the love of Christ, it enables us to live the kind of life in response that he calls us to. We're going to share another video in a minute. It was such an encouraging thing last week to see Kobe Narita baptized into Christ. Kobe is 90 years old. Kobe loves God. She loves the Word of God. Rob was telling me there's times of day where he needs to stop her from reading God's word because of how long she's going and how much she loves just eating it up. But Kobe knows how much she's loved by God. She understands that, and she responded to that last Monday. And so I want to show that video right now. We have that video here.
Holy Spirit, and we'll be added to God's kingdom. Gosh, I hope I don't do that in the middle of this.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came to the earth, and he died for your sins, and was raised on the third day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Amen. And what is your good confession?
My confession?
Yeah.
Jesus is the Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Amen. So now, because of your good confession, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll receive forgiveness for all of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be added to God's kingdom. Amen. Congratulations. Let's do this. So I'm going to baptize you. So put your feet down.
Okay.
Bottom. Can you stand?
Okay.
Can you put your hands across here? Across your chest? Put your fingers over your nose. Okay. If you had granted me a son. Okay, I'm going to get you completely under the water for just a second, okay? So you can be buried with Christ. So bend your knees. Start to squat down. I've got you. Okay, I've got you. Okay, here we go. Bye, Kobe. Here we go. One, two, three.
Yeah.
She's
good.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
You okay there?
I am.
Okay, so we've got towels right there.
Oh, okay, good.
God is so good. That is encouraging. I'm so glad we got that on video to be able to share with all of you. And you can encourage your sister Kobe after service today. But it's just amazing to see what God does, right? To be able to respond to his love, it enables us to see God do incredible things. And that's how Paul ends this chapter in verse 20 of chapter 3. He says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God is capable of immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Rob, how long did you pray that prayer for your mom? 22 years. 22 years he prayed for that day. God is capable of immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine. It's so encouraging to know that we have a capable God, isn't it? That if we really grasp his love, that we can view our God in the correct way and how he loves us and know that he's capable of doing so much more than we ask of him as our Father. His power enables us to understand him, to understand his love, and to see him do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine. You know, I read the scripture, and oftentimes when I read it, I think about how Paul is describing what God can do as immeasurable. But really, that's not what he's describing, and it's just a subtle difference. But he's saying, look, whatever you have the faith to ask for, that's like one point right here. Whatever you actually intellectually believe that God can do, but are afraid to ask for, that's a little further. But he's saying the distance between that point and where God really is, just that distance alone, forget about what you thought, that's immeasurably more than what you understand. It's immeasurable, the distance between what we give God credit for, what we think God can do, and what he's actually capable of. That's immeasurable. That's how short we sell God in our understanding. It's only by God's power that we can really comprehend how much we're loved by this incredible God. God is a God who loves to give. And one of the things he gives to us in abundance, if we'll take it, is power. So if we're feeling lacking in our power this morning, if you're feeling like a weak Christian, or maybe you're not a Christian and you want access to this power, well, you've got to talk to the people that brought you. You've got to pray to God that he leads you down the path to get the power that you need. And if you're a Christian, you've got to get in touch with the powerful God that you serve, with the capable God that you serve, and really understand just how much he loves us and the part that he has prepared for you to play and the strength he can give us to do so. Amen.